friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the September 9th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. This week, I've been covering the quest by African football teams to qualify for next year's World Cup in Qatar. That quest will continue with more qualifying matches in October and November. When all is said and done, five African teams will earn the much-coveted ticket to Qatar. After the most recent round of qualifiers, let's give a collective Sunny Side of Sports salute to four African teams: Tunisia, Nigeria, Libya, and Senegal. They picked up the maximum 6 points and lead their respective groups. Meanwhile, most of the East African teams are off to slow starts in the World Cup qualifying competition. Magume Davis Rakawinge tells us more from Kampala, Uganda. Sporty greetings, Magume.
Sporty greetings to you, Sunny, and our listeners. Milutin Michos Rodovic, Uganda national team coach, said after a goalless draw against Mali on Monday that he takes responsibility for the Ukraine's performance, having accrued only 2 points in the two games of the 2022 Qatar FIFA World Cup qualifiers. Mitchell says his team will come back much stronger when the qualifiers resume in October.
Difference between now and October will be that all these players will be competitively active. And being competitively active, it will be much more easier for us to prepare. We got 50% job done in these two matches. However, we are in process. As we say now in dressing room, games against Rwanda are not played on 6th October and 10th October. Are played now, the way we go back to the drawing board, the way we want to work very hard and to prepare ourselves for those matches, because those matches are not just World Cup qualifiers. They mean a lot to both countries.
But Micho should in fact be pleased that the home side escaped with a draw after his 10 men were dominated by the Malis in Kampala. Vincent Mashami, Rwanda's Amavubi coach, who has managed 1 point this far after playing to a 1-1 draw against Kenya's Harambee Stars in Kigali, Rwanda, said in a post-match press conference that his side can still come on top of Group E.
I think the group is still open because now Kenya has got 2 points out of two games. We've got one out of two. So I think the road is still narrow, so we can still work hard and overturn the table as it stands. Actually, we don't deserve to draw at home. We wanted to win this game by all means, but again, we should also realize and not underestimate the Kenyans, because it was a very tough opponent who wanted also to win and also get to where he wants to get on the table.
Felix Gakuba Romario, a Rwandan sports analyst and reporter, says it won't be that easy for the Amavubi, having watched them play.
Because they seem that actually creates very few chances, and that's why the strikers like Jacques and Medi Kagere, who is playing for Simba, are not actually putting the ball at the back of the net, because they don't create enough chances. They don't get all clear-cut chances to put the ball at the back of the net. If you watch Rwanda playing against Mozambique, against Mali, against Kenya, it's a big concern. They need to create more chances, at least to have a chance of winning the 6 points they're remaining to play for here at home against Uganda, the next game, and then Mali.
Jacob Augusti Mule, Kenya Harambee Stars coach, was pleased with a way point that puts his team joint second in the group with 2 points.
With two games, 2 points, it's not so bad. I mean, we would have liked to have 4 points, but we did our best today, so we will still plan on how to face Mali. Mali, because it's back-to-back, we go to Morocco, then we come back to Nairobi. And I think in Nairobi, it's another story altogether, but let us deal with the Mali game in Morocco first.
Tanzania's Taifa Stars won their first home game to the excitement of national team coach Kim Paulsen.
We really missed the fans, because I'm sure if we had a full house or a lot of fans here to cheer us up, it would have been even a better game. The result was perfect, a win at home after we took a point away against the highest ranking. And you have to remember that in this World Cup qualification, you are playing tough teams. So it's a big achievement to get a point and a win.
Tanzania sports reporter Nasiri Nchimbi was among a few journalists allowed to cover the match because of the COVID-19 protocols. He tells the Sunnyside of Sports that fans watching on the television were a bit disappointed by the sloppy defending after the Taifa Stars conceded the two quick goals.
Well, Davis, my verdict on this game, I'll start by congratulating the national team, my national team of Tanzanian, for this win, but I will present a lot of emotions from the Tanzanian fans who are not very well pleased with the performance of the team, especially due to sloppy defense, allowing too many mistakes, losing a lot of balls on the midfield. That led to two goals punishment. We did a lot of mistakes. We committed like 4 to 5 mistakes, but we were punished only by two goals. But if Madagascar were very critical, Tanzanians were to lose this game.
But Coach Paul Sen says his team, led by star striker Bwana Samata, who plays for the Belgian side Antwerp FC, won't get carried away with the way things are.
The journey have just started, and I believe that the team and the player can be better.
Taifa Stars' next engagement will be a double header against Benin, first at home in Dar es Salaam, and then away to Benin. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinj in Kampala.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Micho-Sredovic, national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach.
Hello. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Squatty greetings, everyone. This is Ambassador Mary Onyale, Olympic medalist, 5-time African champion in the sprint event. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
If we look at Team Nigeria's recent performances at the Olympics and Paralympics in Japan, I think it's only appropriate to put our hands together for the country's female athletes. Nigerian women won both of the country's medals at the Olympics and at the Paralympics, which ended September 5th. Nigerian women won 9 of the country's 10 medals, including all 4 gold. Ruel Ishaku traveled to Tokyo for the Paralympics. Ishaku is the president of the Nigeria Powerlifting Federation. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, he said Nigerian athletes overcame hardships to reach the medals podium.
Nigerian athletes always make me proud. They always make Nigerians proud. We went to the Paralympic Games with 22 athletes. And we came back with 10 medals. Out of the 10, 4 are gold medals. So it's a very big kudos to the team. It's a very big kudos to the athletes. Despite the challenges they face, despite the challenges some of them face, one of them tested positive for COVID-19, which affected other 2 because they were his close contact. They were all quarantined. They could not train for about 3 weeks. Not until when they tested negative before they were allowed to travel to Tokyo. And one among them, won a bronze medal. The other one that we are even highly hoping for gold from him, the day he arrived to Tokyo was the day he competed. You can imagine. Look at the time difference. About 20 hours flight. But the day he arrived to Tokyo was the day he competed and he came fourth position.
Para powerlifting won 3 of the 4 gold medals Nigeria won at the Games. What's your take on the para powerlifters? And did they meet your expectations?
Yes, Nigerian para powerlifters are strong. They are strong. We are all proud of them. Among the medals that we won, para powerlifting won the highest medals. We have been number one in the world. Even though we travel, we went to these Paralympic Games with a little number of athletes. But we won 3 gold, 1 silver, and 2 bronze. So they are always zealous in their performance. Even though I was expecting more than the medals we've won, but we tried. The athletes have tried. They have done their best. And, you know, you can see what has happened. Actually, you can see what has happened with them. One of the athletes that tested positive and the 3 others that were quarantined were all powerlifters. But you can see the performance.
Which way forward? Do you have other international events before the Paris 2024 Games?
By the grace of God, the 2024 Paralympic Games pathway is starting in November this year in Batumi, Georgia, on which hopefully we want to go with a good number of athletes. And if we go with good number of athletes, we'll come with good number of medals. Again, we have the Commonwealth Games. We also have the All Africa Games, which these games also prepare them against the Paralympic Games. And hopefully, all the pathways will have to attend. You know, they are all mandatory. The pathways are mandatory that every year you must attend. So, by the grace of God, we are just starting and we'll groom them. And by the grace of God, come the Paralympic Games 2024, we'll retain our standard as Nigerian para powerlifters. That is the number one in the world.
That's Ruel Lashaku, the president of the Nigeria Powerlifting Federation. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Jos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Dare, Minister of Youth and Sports Development, Nigeria. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel. 20 years ago, 19 Al-Qaeda-affiliated hijackers weaponized 4 planes to commit the deadliest terrorist acts on U.S. soil in history. On the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks, we talk with world-renowned terrorism experts Ali Soufan and Bruce Hoffman about lessons learned over 2 decades and the current status of the jihadist threat. That's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Carol. More than a dozen Olympic champions are competing on Thursday at the Diamond League Athletics Meet in Zurich, Switzerland. One Olympic champion who hopes to raise the bar in Zurich is Mondo Duplantis, the world record holder in the men's pole vault. In this Sunny Side of Sports Olympic highlight, VOA's Gwen Uten tells us more about the Swedish-American athlete. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Mondo Duplantis is the current world record holder in the pole vault, both indoors and outdoors, and he's just added a gold medal to his growing list of achievements. And while the 21-year-old is literally setting the bar high, he tells Reuters News competing on the Olympic stage was an experience of a lifetime.
The Olympics is the biggest meet in track and field, and you know, by far. And so it's the most important meet of my life to this point, and it's, I guess, it would be the most important meet maybe I'll ever have. And you know, I'm coming in as the favorite. All the pressure was on me, and it was kind of one of these things to where If I wasn't to go in there and win, then it's kind of like almost embarrassing, because everybody's been talking to me about it for the past year since it got postponed and I just broke the world record. And so everybody, you know, basically was just expecting me to go in there and win the gold. And, you know, that's kind of tough, because it's still sports and anything can happen, and you still have to go out there, you still have to do it.
Duplantis won his gold medal in Tokyo with a winning height of 6.02 meters. And as if the gold medal wasn't enough, that same night, he tried to make history by raising the bar to 6.19 meters, 1 centimeter above his own world record. And he came so close. He tried to clear the bar on 3 attempts, but it wasn't meant to be. However, Duplantis says don't count him out too soon.
The first attempt felt really good. It felt like I was over it. I thought I was going to be able to make it. I was actually surprised at how high I was over it in the beginning, because I never, you know, got my feet and my hips that high over, you know, a bar that high. It felt like so. It was. I mean, I guess it's unfortunate that I wasn't able to make it, and now that I brushed a little bit on the way down on my chest. But it's a huge confidence booster for the future, because I feel like I have a lot of higher heights in store now, and I feel like I can make 6.19, 6.20. I can get into the 20s range. So, you know, it's a big confidence booster. And, you know, it is one of those meets to where at the end of the day, I still did win the Olympic gold. So I couldn't really complain that much, even though I would have loved to break the record. But, you know, the jump itself was a huge confidence booster.
Duplantis' confidence in the sport began while growing up in the U.S. state of Louisiana. He was encouraged by his father, a former pole vaulter from New Orleans and two-time state champion. As a youth, Duplantis spent many summers in his mother's native country, Sweden, and chose to represent her country in Tokyo. And as Duplantis continues to compete internationally for Sweden, he says he wants to do all that he can to elevate the sport.
I win everything there is to win. I want to do it more times than anybody else has done it. But you know, if you know pole vault, if you know the history of pole vault, that's really, really big shoes to fill when you're following the likes of Renaud Lavillenie and Sergey Bubka, people that have won many, many global titles. You know, Bubka winning, I think, 6 or 7 more championship titles, and I haven't even won one yet. So I feel like I still have a really long way to go and a lot of things left for me to achieve. And so it's a really good start right now. My journey, but I think there's still a lot for me to go out there and do.
But Duplantis says winning Olympic gold is his greatest achievement to date.
I mean, I think the world record is definitely comparable, but there's just something about, you know, the Olympic gold medal that's, you know, it's just different. It's really special, and nobody can ever take that away from me now. I mean, because you know, of course, I hope to break the world record a couple more times and go higher heights, and, you know, whether I have the world record for a long time or it's broken next year, next week, whatever it may be, I don't know. But I mean, you can't take a medal away from me. Records can be broken, but, you know, medals stay forever.
As Duplantis says, records can be broken, and his goal is to break his own world record several times in the very near future.
I want to break the world record more times, and I really do want to get into like the 6.20s. I want to jump 6.20, and I want to get, you know, because I just think 20 just sounds so good. It sounds so much higher than everything else. And so I think that sounds like kind of a level of its own right there, like getting to the 20s. And then after that, you know, I mean, I need to win the world championships, because I never won the world championships yet. I got second in 2019, of course, to Sam. So, you know, I have the world championships next year. And that's, I guess, the biggest goal, especially going into the following year.
Well, we will keep our eye on Olympic champion Mondo Duplantis as he soars to new heights in the sport. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
My name is Shida Lane, a Ugandan 400 meters Olympian at this year's Olympics. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Two-time Olympic marathon champion Eliud Kipchoge joined key figures from Athletics Kenya at a virtual event in Nairobi on Tuesday to commemorate the second International Day of Clean Air for Blue Skies. Kipchoge called on Kenyans to dedicate their birthdays to environmental conservation. Eliud said, and I quote, "Plant a tree on your special day, and in 2 years, we will be breathing better air. And Elliott continued, we must protect that which provides us with clean air, clean water, and is a perfect training ground for our athletes. Elsewhere in African athletics, Ethiopia's three-time Olympic champion Kenenisa Bekele is one of the headliners at the Berlin Marathon in Germany on September 26th. The 39-year-old Bekele will be running the Berlin Marathon for a fourth time. Kenenisa won the race in 2016, but dropped out the next year. In 2019, Kenenisa returned to the German capital and won once again. In both of his Berlin Marathon victories, Kenenisa missed the then world record by a matter of seconds.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, Serbian star Novak Djokovic remains on course for a calendar year Grand Slam sweep of the four major tournaments. Djokovic advanced to the semifinals of the U.S. Open in New York, as we hear now from the AP's Graham Agars.
Novak Djokovic has kept alive his hopes of a Grand Slam, reaching a U.S. Open Final Four showdown with the fourth seed Alexander Zverev. But once again, the Serb was forced to work early before advancing, coming back from a set down to beat the six-seeded Italian Matteo Berrettini.
It was a great battle. It always is with Matteo. He's a very powerful player. He's got one of the best 1-2 punch in the game. Forehand from any position, really, and serve.
Zverev advanced with a straight sets win over the South African Lloyd Harris.
I think the match was a little bit strange. I think the first set he played very well, didn't give me a lot of chance on his serve, but after that I started to play much better, and I think the turning point was the first set. I think that I won it. Kind of go my way after that.
The surprises continued in the women's draw with British qualifier Emma Raducanu straight setting the 11th seed Belinda Bencic, that to meet Maria Sakkari.
I think I'm at the best age of my career. I'm more mature than before. As I said many times, I think every single player has a different timing of breaking through. Now it's probably my time, at the age of 26.
The Greek upsetting the 4th seed Karolina Pliskova. I'm Graham Agar.
Thanks, Graham. Graham mentioned the South African Lloyd Harris, who lost in straight sets to Alexander Zverev. In reaching the quarterfinals, Lloyd produced his best ever showing at a major tournament. And as a result, he'll move within the world's top 40 players. Lloyd Harris is also South Africa's number one ranked men's singles player. The 24-year-old Harris was born in Cape Town and he turned professional in 2015. Since then, he's earned nearly $2 million in prize money. We'll keep our eyes on Lloyd Harris and see if he can continue to move up the men's tennis rankings. Meanwhile, a young Ghanaian tennis player is hoping to one day play at the U.S. Open. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Yawafusu Larbi tells us more. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Well, she's just 13, smart, talented, and energetic. Introduced to the sport by her father at age 10, she has already gained great interest in it and is making her dad proud. Ekuyakuma Hansen defeated her opponent in the final in straight sets to claim the ladies' title of the 2021 Accra Open Championship held at the tennis arena of the Accra Sports Stadium. Hansen was born in Germany to a Ghanaian father and an Irish mother. She has been in Ghana for only a year, but her skill in the sport has begun paying dividends. But it hasn't been all smooth sailing. The 13-year-old recalls how tough the journey was from the beginning back in Germany.
My daddy didn't have money to pay the membership, so we know they will close at 4. So 4:30 we will go and climb the fence. Then we will look 30 minutes for balls, because they don't take every balls when they go over the fence. So we looked and we found like 10 balls, and daddy bought one racket in second hand. Then he just threw the ball to me. And then one time, the captain saw us and didn't say anything. He just went back. And like 1 week, then he saw us again. And he saw how much I improved. And then he came to us and said, what you are doing, you can't do. You have to pay the membership. And then my daddy said, yes, I know, but I don't have enough money to pay it. And then he said, I saw how much you improved and gave us for 1 year a free membership.
Like every young player coming through the ranks, Ekuya has role models, and among them includes Australian Open champion Naomi Osaka and Coco Gauff, who lit up the sport with their performances when she burst onto the scene a few years ago.
Naomi Osaka, because she just came out of nothing. And she won tournaments. She was 3 times in the final, and every final she won. And it's like a very big surprise. She just came out of nothing. And Coco Gauff also, because she's so young and I like her.
Ekuyakuma wants to be the biggest tennis player in the country and the continent and go on to win Grand Slams.
I want to be a world-class tennis player. I want to be in the top 3 and play for Ghana. So I just want to make sure when you turn on the TV, you can see a Ghanaian flag.
Her father, Jeffrey J. Hansen, has no doubts that his daughter can slowly climb the tennis ladder. He believes his daughter's hard work will pay off soon and boldly spoke of the young lady's intentions to represent Ghana at the Olympics.
I believe it's every girl's or every player's dream to represent their country. Now, there's a good question. Where do we see her? Where does she see herself? You know, and I truly believe at this point, she is 100% a Ghanaian. 100%. There's no doubt about it. Yes, it also came through me because it's more or less, it's my dream to push this door open for us Ghanaians, especially for the females. It's my dream. Listen, I want to make with what I have. I want to give back with what I have.
Young Ekuyakuma Hansen has the world at her feet and a racket in her hand. Hopefully, the years materialize as the years roll on. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yawafusu Larbi in Accra.
Wraps up the September 9th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sport.